Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax. Come on.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly do appreciate it. Let's go back to where we started. We'll start with some college basketball sound and then get into the Chiefs, which will lead us into Matt Derrick. So, let's play some Jerome Tang since K-State won last night in a thriller. That was a thriller, wasn't it, Nate?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It was a thriller in Manhattan, and Kansas State beats Kansas in overtime, 83-82. Let's play number 12, Jerome Tang. Here he gives his opening statement after his team's victory over Kansas last night.
First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, I wouldn't be here, have this opportunity, and so blessed to be a part of this terrific university and athletic department, and so proud of our guys. And secondly, our fans were incredible, right? I mean, we always say that home court advantage gives you a plus 10. They might have been plus 20 tonight, it was incredible. And one of the things that I said leading up to this is that that kind of energy that they brought tonight. I want them to bring that because they love us and not because of the opponent that we're playing. And so on Saturday when we play Texas Tech, if they love us, we're going to get that same energy, right? Not because of the opponent that we're playing against. And that was the thing for my message. And, all the credit to Kansas. I mean, Jalen Wilson was incredible. They're an incredible basketball team and program and Coach Self. But tonight, we made one more play than they did. And like I told the guys in the locker room, we only got one win tonight, okay? And so now we have to prepare, do what we have to do tonight, the next right thing, so that we can prepare to win the next one. Thank you.
All right, let's hear more from Jerome Tang here. We'll skip to 14 since we only played that one, Marco. Let's hear Jerome Tang when he was asked what he would like the nation to know about K-State men's basketball.
That they love each other and they play with joy. And they are terrific young men, right, to be around and to live life with. And this is not an anomaly, right? This is who we are going to be moving forward. And every one of them has bought into what it takes to not just be a good team, but to be a great program. And so they're just a blast to be around. And I mean, you saw that crowd tonight, and I don't know about the Mecca, right? I mean, that's kind of a big Mecca, but I don't know there was a better college environment in America, and every kid in the country should want to play in front of those fans.
All right, one more from Jerome Tang. We played the clip of him on top of the scorers table. Very WWE, grabbed the mic, worked the mic, worked the crowd, Monday Night Raw. I liked it. And here is Jerome Tang telling us what led to his decision to hop on the table and address the crowd after the game.
Well, I was really disappointed in the introduction when our students started chanting the FKU chant. It's like, crap, I hadn't gotten it across yet, you know, and there's work to be done. And then at the end of the game, when they were on the floor and they started chanting it again, you know, I really want them to understand that, you know, we don't have to degrade the other team. We can dislike them all we want, but let's cheer for us. Let's just let America hear Kansas State and not hear the other name, whoever, you know what I mean? And so that's all that's about. I believe, like, we can have a terrific culture here because of the passion of our fans. And you know, somebody has to say it, right? We just can't, like, that's kids to be kids. That's not, somebody has to say it. And, you know, I mean, I tell you, if we're losing, then maybe my voice doesn't carry as much weight. But thankfully, God's put us on, given us this platform. We're winning. It's his platform. And I can speak on some of those things because this is a special place. And, man, happiness, you know, I mean, this is a really special place. And, I want the country to know how special it is, not be known for the dumb chant.
Please react to those comments, Nate Bucati.
Jerome Tang seems like a special person, you know? I mean, he just seems like a special human being.
Because he doesn't want people to say FKU. That's why you're saying that, right?
Well, no, I mean, I just think his overall attitude, ever since he got to K-State, that introductory press conference, and you and I talked about it at that point in time, he just seems like almost like this relentlessly positive person. And how could you, how could you not be inspired by that? And to me, like, a lot of what he's really saying is, you know, I have bigger visions for this program than being a team that beats KU every once in a while. I want this program to be good all the time. I want this, and he said it, I want this team to win Big 12 titles and win national championships. And, I mean, hey, why wouldn't you want that from your coach? Why wouldn't you want that kind of ambition? And I mean, he's right, yeah, like if they went out and lost that game, the fans aren't going to want to hear him, you know, telling them how to behave or anything. And, I mean, look, a lot of people aren't going to want him to tell them how to behave or anything. But I don't think this is about him trying to tell people how to behave. I think he's trying to change the mindset of the team, you know, and we expect to be a good team all the time, period. That's what we're about. I mean, why wouldn't you want that from your head coach?
All right, let's move on to Bill Self. We played the clip that Bill Self, that when Bill Self was asked about what the difference was, he basically put the blame on himself, on him, Bill Self. You want to play that again? I mean, I thought that was pretty good. I mean, we played it about 20 minutes ago. But here's Bill Self talking about what made the difference in the game last night.
I mean, there's a lot of things. I thought K-State played great early, and we didn't have any answer for them. And then when it kind of settled down, we played a lot better. You know, I'd have to study it. The first thing I want to say to though is, you know, we don't get a shot at the end of regulation, end of overtime. I mean, that's on me. So, didn't get a shot. So, and then, you know, I call timeout when Jalen makes a bomb too. So that could have been the difference in winning and losing right there too. But we don't get a shot at the end of regulation, in overtime. We don't get a stop at the end of the first half. They scored two, and then we don't get a stop at game point on a lob. So to me, those four plays were the difference in the basketball game. I mean, they can look at, well, we didn't do this or that. We can look at, we didn't do this or that. I mean, heck, we're 6 of 29 from three. So, but we did enough stuff to put us in position to win, which if you told me before the game that we'd have the ball at the end with a chance to win twice, I'd say that'd probably be something that we'd probably sell out for. So I'm proud of our guys. I thought we fought hard. I thought we competed. I mean, we got a makeshift lineup out there. Had three guys out there that never played at game point. But still, non-excuse. We got to do a little bit better, and certainly I got to do a better job of helping them.
All right, let's hear a couple of more from Bill Self. Here he was asked about that alley-oop that basically won the game for K-State.
It was a great call. I can't believe it was available. I mean, I'm really disappointed it was available. And, you know, that's the game point. You're down in stance. You're ready. There was no screen. There was no community. And he spun. But they've done that before. You know, that's one of their deals. I think I've seen it once in tape that they've done that. And, you know, Jalen played great. You know, got the kid plays 45 minutes and never comes out and, you know, puts us on his back, scores 38, has to drive it every time to get fouled. And so he played great. But that was one possession I wish we could take back.
And finally, here is Bill Self when he was asked about Jerome Tang and what he's done so far at K-State.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, it's great. It was a great hire. I think he's represented our league, and obviously over here is about as well as you possibly can. I can't imagine anybody. He and TJ, to me, are the two leading candidates for Coach of the Year in our league, but National Coach of the Year too. I mean, nobody's done a better job assembling talent in a short amount of time and getting them to play as hard and as well together as what those two guys have that I've seen.
Feels DeJuan okay? He left the game for a while.
Yeah, I think so. He hit his head, but he didn't have any concussion types in a symptom, so I think he's fine.
Nate Ducati, you've heard all the comments there from Jerome Tang and Bill Self. You watched the game. You apparently have zero opinion whether or not the K-State player was out of bounds. You don't want to bitch about the referees. You don't want me to ask you any specific questions. You don't want me to talk to you about this game. So you watched the game. Give us your thoughts on what happened last night in Manhattan.
I love having questions from you about the about the game.
No.
Was the guy out of bounds or not? He looked out of bounds in the picture that Lebo sent. But look, there was 1.6 seconds left. Yes, they could have gotten a shot off, but I would just point out they had plenty of time to get a shot off at the end of regulation, at the end of overtime, and they didn't get a shot off in either one of them. So that's, to me, the bigger failure, and Self talked about it right there. I think an excuse for Bill Self, or at least a little bit of an excuse for Bill Self, is the fact that three of his starters had fouled out of the game, as he had three guys out there. And I think this, you could say, is going to be a problem for KU this year, is that they have a lack of depth. They don't have the kind of bench that they've maybe had in the past. They got one or two guys coming off the bench that they can really count on, and none of those guys have been in those situations before, and they didn't handle them well. But one play that I did think I heard Self talk about there was also, when you're talking about a one-point game in overtime, all these things matter. At the end of the first half, KU got a rebound with 18 seconds left, and it was kind of a frenetic, you know, last 30 seconds or so, but they get the rebound with 18 seconds left and kick it out to Grady Dick, and he just drives right up the court and takes it to the basket and gets fouled, still with 12 seconds left in the half, and I'm watching it going, why are they not going for the last shot here? And look, Grady Dick's a freshman. He's a great player. I'm not trying to pick on him or anything like that, but he needs to stop the ball.
Hey, don't pick on Dick, all right?
Right.
Thank you.
100%.
Thank you, my friend.
But he needed to pull that out there. Well.
Jeez. Boy. Go on.
And
well, you're really saying a mouthful today, aren't you, Nate?
They should have gone for the last shot there because he ends up getting fouled with 12 seconds left, and he makes one of two free throws, and that gives K-State time to come back down the floor, and Keontae Johnson makes a jump shot at the end of the half. That's a You know, they end up, if they go for the last shot, even if they don't score, KU comes out, you know, even in that situation, trailing by just three. But instead, they lose that altercation, you know, by a point because they get 1 point from Grady Dick. They give up the 2 points. They lose the game in overtime by 1 point. That's a big moment in the game. So, you know, that when Bill Self said that, the end of game situations, it's funny because, you know, we were talking with Mike DeCourcy. I asked him, I asked Jared Sutton. People are questioning whether or not this Kansas team has been a little lucky by winning those four really close games so far in Big 12 play, or is it just, man, Bill Self's such a genius and these guys know how to win? There's probably a little bit of both at play there. But if you would have told me coming into this game, Kansas is going to have the ball with a chance to win it at the end of regulation and a chance to draw something up, and they'd have a chance at the end of overtime with two different chances to win the game with the ball in their hands, I'd say, well, yeah, Bill Self's going to draw something up. They're going to get a great look, and they'll probably win the game. They didn't get a shot off in either of those situations, and they didn't handle the end of the first half well either, and that's the difference in a game that close.
Marco, any comments on the game that you want to get off your chest? What did you? Who were you? What did you have last night?
Oh, bet wise?
Yeah.
I thought you were asking me food. I was
did you have? I don't know. If it's interesting, tell us.
What did I? Oh, barbecue chicken pizza. I had Kansas State +2, so I was satisfied with the results. But as a viewer of the game, it was an entertaining game. It's just, it kind of reminded me of the Missouri A&M game, maybe, where it just, there never was like a consistent flow with the game. It was just a bunch of time at the free throw line, especially in the second half of the second half. But you could definitely feel the strain of the length of how long it was just taking to get through the end of that game. But that was part of the game plan, though, for the coaches. Get to the basket, and you heard Bill Self say it there with Jalen Wilson. Like, if the refs are going to be called, you got to play to the refs, and the refs were whistle happy with the shots taken in the inside, plays happening in the inside. But then again, that was just part of the game plan. The free throw line was one of the difference makers last night's also.
Any other final comments before we move back to the Chiefs, Nate Buchady?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of griping about the officiating by people through the course of the game, and a lot of people complaining. I mean, it was a disjointed game, and there was a ton of free throws. But I think, look, the refs, we talked about earlier this year, KU and Texas Tech played a game in Lubbock in which there were like 9 fouls called the whole game. And I feel quite certain, watching the way these games have been refed since then, that the league got together with the refs and said, hey, we have to start calling more fouls because we need more freedom of movement. We need the games to open up a little bit. So that's part of it. I think the refs are probably doing what they're told to be a little more tight with the whistle. But Marco makes a great point. Both teams in the second half took the ball inside. I mean, they were going to the basket to try to get fouled. And, you know, I want to see the refs let them play. But, you know, I think that the two teams, with the way they were trying to play the game, they were forcing the refs to make decisions. So I don't think that the refs, like, look, were calls missed here or there, all that stuff? Yeah, sure. But I don't think for either team that's an excuse for the game. That was just a really good basketball game, and the refs had a tough game to ref because it was a very physical game as well, and both teams were attacking the basket.
All right, Kansas State beats Kansas in overtime 83-82. Iowa State beat Texas 78-67. So now Kansas State, and Iowa State all at 5-1 atop the Big 12 conference. And Mizzou plays Arkansas tonight at 8:00 on SEC Network in Columbia. Let's get back to the Chiefs before we break in and talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Let's play. You know what? I had a chance to. Let's play the opening. Do we have time for the opening, Andy Reid and Leo? Okay. Let's play the opening comments from Andy Reid. He gives us an injury update, which was not a good update as far as I'm concerned. But here's what Andy Reid had to say yesterday at Arrowhead.
All right. The guys that won't practice today, really it's just McCole. We're just going to back off him a little bit and see if we can't get it feeling better. He's been pushing it hard and it's not responding the way that that he wants it or you know we want it to. So we'll back off on that. So we look forward to the challenge of everybody else will practice. We look forward to the challenge of playing Jacksonville. We know they're a good football team. They've only lost one game since we played them. So I mean it's they're playing real good football. And we know they're well coached, and so we're gonna get ourselves ready this week with some good practices. The other two I probably should mention today are Clyde and Jody will practice today. So we're gonna ease them back in, just see how they do, try to get them back in the swing of things. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Coach, when it comes to McColl, it sounds like it's been a very unique situation with maybe being able to play, maybe not. Do you guys still have optimism that he'll be back at some point during the postseason?
Yeah, he does, and we do, yeah. You want to try not to take steps back. It's not that we've taken steps back. It's just that it's not getting where it needs to be, where he can go. So my feeling is that if we just back off on it, and let it rest a little bit here, and do his rehab and that he has a chance to get better. But we don't, he doesn't want it, and we don't want it. We don't want to put him out in a bad situation, so where he can't play.
Well, that was my main takeaway from Arrowhead yesterday. I was at high hopes that McCole Hardman was going to be back and ready to roll on Saturday. Now I do not have those hopes. I mean, I do, but I don't think that's going to happen. So.
No. I said yesterday, I'm skeptical. I'm not going to get my hopes up just because it seems like when guys have these types of muscle injuries, so what I guess we think it is, it's what they're calling it, an abdominal injury, right?
Sure.
When a guy starts having setbacks, it's not like, I don't know, I feel like certain types of injuries, you rest, you let the structure heal, and then you just start building up and you get back out there. Sometimes with these like little muscle injuries, you think you're getting healthy, and then you try to go out and practice at full speed, and then boom, it goes again. And then you're out for another 2 to 4 weeks. And so I'm kind of taking the attitude of it'd be great to have McCole Hardman back if he comes back, but I'm going to look at it as a bonus. I'm going to be pleasantly surprised if he does come back. I don't expect to see him play.
Like at all in the postseason or just a Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you just kind of go into it thinking, if we get him back this postseason, great. But how could you count on it? I mean, how long has he been out now? I mean, it's been a while. And it seems like every time he gets close,
he got hurt.
A little setback.
Leading into, he didn't play in the first Jacksonville game. That was the first game he was out, November 13th. Last game he played was against Tennessee the week before.
So we're talking 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so, no, I don't expect him back this season. I mean, and if he does, great. But
Clyde's practicing again.
Yeah.
Get your guy back.
That's great.
By Jody Fortson.
Hey, they're all weapons, man. Yeah. You know, I'd like to have all of them back, but I think out of those three guys, the one you'd want back the most is McCole Hardman.
That's right. That's exactly right. But I don't know if that's going to happen. Okay. We went into the locker room after Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and then Jarrett McKinnon and Nick Bolton were ready to go to the podium. Marco liked the fact that when we walked by Nick Bolton on his way to the podium, I said M-I-Z, and he said Z-O-U, baby. And then he said something about Nate, and I'm not going to repeat it.
Wow.
Right, I know. So the locker room was featuring the practice squad. So as they know, the Chiefs veterans know, that the reporters had to leave at 12:30. And so I felt eyes everywhere lurking from behind walls in the shower, from the training room, just waiting for that magic moment of 12:31 when they can emerge from wherever they are and go to their lockers free from the media asking them questions. Although Justin Reed talked to everyone. But I did, I saw one of the rookies. I saw Leo Chanel sitting in his locker. I said, all right, let me go talk to Leo to see what he has to say. And so here is rookie linebacker Leo Chanel yesterday in the locker room.
Getting ready for your first postseason game in the NFL, what have some of the veterans said about, you know, Andy just talked about it takes another step in speed, game speed, it's just at a different level. What have you heard talking to some of the guys that have been through it before?
I mean, it's kind of the same thing, just reciprocating what the coaches are saying. Like, you know, it's a whole new energy with everybody, not just our team. You know, everybody's excited, you know, at this chance, this opportunity. The whole, you know, speed changes and stuff like that, it gets faster. So, I mean, it's nothing really different, you know, than what we're doing. You know, competition, you know, goes up. People's, you know, effort maybe goes up a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's just us doing our job. You know, that's all it comes down to.
Did you watch the games over the weekend?
Yeah, I did a few. You know, the ones that affected us. You know, and just watching those, it's crazy. You know, everybody has a chance, no matter what the score is. They always have a chance. So, you know, we got to be locked in all four quarters.
Yeah, not that you needed it, but like all the AFC games are close. Can you write down to the wire? Is that a reminder, like you said, that anything can happen in the playoffs? Doesn't matter what the seed is.
Exactly. You know, all these teams are good teams. You know, non-playoff teams, you know, every team has a chance when you're playing. So, you know, we definitely didn't need it as a reminder, but, you know, it's always good to be able to see that, you know, see like the evidence in front of us of like this could happen if we're not just true to our jobs.
So you played Jacksonville, you beat them 27-17. What stands out to you about Jacksonville now that you've already seen them one time and having gone up against them before?
I mean, they're a really good team. We saw what they could do in the second half, especially. You know, Trevor Lawrence can make all the throws. They got a great running back. So we have a ton of respect for them. And we can't look at, you know, the past game other than like, okay, what did they show against us? We just got to, you know, put our head down and do our job.
I mean, that's tough. You know, Trevor Lawrence, 4 picks, and then comes back in that game with those 4 touchdowns. That shows a lot of, you know, mental toughness. And so you guys know that you're going up against a guy that won't quit, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he played at, you know, a really good school, won a lot of games. You know, nothing's new to him. He's faced a lot of, you know, different situations in his career. And, you know, that was really impressive. You know, it definitely turned heads for sure what he's able to do. And, you know, that's really tough to bounce back from something like that. And props to him for it. That's pretty incredible.
Last question for you. So you've been through the Arrowhead experience, but this is the playoffs. It's crazy at Arrowhead. So how excited are you for your first playoff game at Arrowhead? How many people you got coming to the game? Are people banging you up for tickets? Like, how have you had to deal with that?
Oh, man, it's really exciting. It's a whole new juice. Yeah, I definitely have a few family members that are like, hey, can I get a ticket? You know, I'm happy to. I love, you know, the support, you know, back home. I get from back home. But, no, I'm definitely excited. I've seen Arrowhead on, you know, games, you know, every single game. It's a blowout or, you know, we won by a little or a loss. It's crazy. All the fans are constantly bringing the energy. So I'm just excited to see this for sure.
All right, good luck, man.
All right, thank you so much.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
What about Leo Chanel? There's a rookie for you.
I like him a lot.
Oh, do you? He likes you, maybe. Aww. He ain't saying nothing bad about you.
Well, I don't feel like Nick Bolton or Leo Chanel really have an opinion about me either way, personally. I think you're fabricating
Nick
that.
Nick Bolton listens. He hears what you say.
What do I say? I've never said anything bad about Nick Bolton.
Everything gets back to him. I've got a conduit to
Nick
Bolton.
Then it should have
gotten
back to him that I've said he's been a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker this year.
Mm. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
I don't think he listened to that episode. I think he's still right. I think he listened to stuff pre-draft. He listens to the pre-draft episodes.
I like Leo. Come on, Leo. Let's go. Right?
Heck yeah, man. I like a lot of these young defenders. I mean,
come on, get fired. It's Wednesday. We got playoff action on Saturday. Come on.
I'm fired up. Let's go.
This ain't your first rodeo.
Nope.
Get on that horse. Don't let that horse buck you off.
It's Leo's first rodeo, though.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a tough game, man. I mean, I'm excited, but I think it's going to be a tougher game than a lot of people think.
Well, let's just see what Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com says about that, huh?
Okay.
See if he's going to put up with what you're saying. Matt Derrick up next on WHB. welcome back to the show, Matt Derrick. Are you an easy lover?
Ooh, you know what? I think I am.
That's what I would have guessed. Nate, what do you think?
Do I think Matt's an easy lover?
Right.
I don't. Sure, yeah, of course.
Crank up the song for just a minute, please.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is a jam, and if you act like it's not, you're wrong. Crank it up so people driving can thump that steering wheel right now. Philip Bailey. Thank you. Matt, it's up to you to match that energy now in the segment, okay?
Boy, that is hard because those two guys brought it, man.
You ever go to Waffle House after a game?
You know, I actually have.
Mm-hmm.
I am fairly confident that we ended up at a Waffle House after the Missouri-Nebraska game up in Nebraska, like 2011 or something.
I bet that was fun.
It was not fun because, you know, well, I mean, the Waffle House part was fun.
Right, that part.
Yeah, that part. That was the only good part of the day. That, and I also executed a absolutely perfect back into the parking space in a parking garage.
Was that Gabbert in the rain?
Yes, sir.
No, that was, what was it, 2011. The day that, gosh, whichever one of those Nebraska running backs, this was in Lincoln.
Oh.
And so, yeah, okay. So it was what that Nebraska running back went for, like, you know,
Abdullah, maybe?
Touchdowns. Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, it feels like it was probably Abdullah.
Moving on.
Exactly.
We don't bring that up. Okay, so, Matt Derrick, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars headed to Arrowhead Stadium. Chiefs beat them already 27-17. Could have been more, but they turned the ball over three times and had some special teams mistakes. How do you feel about this game? Are you nervous? Do you think this is a great matchup? What's your overall feelings about the Chiefs opponent in the divisional round?
I mean, a little nervous because I do think that this was the more dangerous matchup for the Chiefs in this round. Because with Jacksonville, I mean, to me, they have the best combination right now. Of all the opponents that the Chiefs could have faced in the divisional round, they have the best combination to me of coach and quarterback. And that's what you have to worry about in the playoffs. Doug Peterson's a very good coach. I mean, you saw that the other night in the second half, how he was able to keep that team in that game and get them back into it and especially keep Trevor Lawrence's head in that game and not let him just, you know, fall apart after that first half just went so disastrously. And this is a team with absolutely nothing to lose that plays a lot of physical football. I mean, they can come in here and cause some problems. I mean, I think the Chiefs will be able to handle it, but I think this is a dangerous team.
You know, we've talked so much about Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson because of those are the two most important things when it comes to football, the head coach and the quarterback. But, man, I've been impressed with Travis Etienne, and he had another good game and really that game-sealing win that set up the chip shot field goal. He went over 100 yards again in the game against the Chargers. But, I don't think Jacksonville can win without Trevor Lawrence having a really good game, but it makes it easier on Trevor Lawrence if Etienne has a good game. Your thoughts on that specific matchup, Etienne against the Chiefs' run defense?
Yeah, Etienne, to me, one of the most impressive things about him is just that he seems to find the extra yards at the end of carries. That game the other night against the Chargers, you know, you feel like, okay, there's like 2 yards there for Etienne, and all of a sudden he falls forward for six. I mean, he just finds a way to get those extra yards, and obviously, I mean, averages over 5 yards a carry. That's brutally efficient on the ground, and they do open up some holes for him. I mean, there are some issues with the Jags offensive line. They're not perfect, and this team is that's the way they are. I mean, they've got some pieces in places. They're not a complete team yet, but Etienne's a really nice piece, and I've been impressed with their receiving core, too. I mean, I have to give Christian Kirk a lot of credit because I didn't think he had this in him to be that kind of receiver immediately, and especially with a new team. He had a really big year. I mean, you know, Trevor Lawrence has some help around him. It's not a one-man show.
Nate Bucati, please talk to Matt Derrick.
Got to turn my mic on first. Wow. Hello, Matt. How are you, buddy?
I am dandy, Nate. How are you?
Good, and I'm on Team Matt Derrick. I agreed with you last week that Jacksonville was the most dangerous of potential matchups. And to build on your last point, yes, Christian Kirk is a good weapon, but, you know, four different guys caught touchdown passes from Trevor Lawrence in that game, in that comeback against the Chargers. And you have to worry about Evan Engram. You have to worry about Zay Jones. You know, Marvin Jones Jr. had three catches in the game and had a touchdown. I think that's another thing about this Jacksonville team to me is they are not a one-dimensional team. You have a lot of different things you have to worry about when you play them. And another point that I would make, Matt, you know, like, you know, we heard Andy Reid earlier talking about how this Jags team's only lost one time since they lost to the Chiefs 2 months ago, and that was at the Detroit Lions. And I know a lot of people say, well, yeah, but look at their schedule. Who did they play? But who have the Chiefs played? You know what I mean? Like, the Chiefs haven't exactly had the toughest schedule during that stretch either. So I think this Jags team's a little more tested, too. They did beat the Cowboys, and now they've beaten the Chargers as well. So to me, like, I think – do you believe in momentum? Do you believe that this is a team that has momentum as well?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, they've been extremely well in the second half, and that gives them a lot of confidence. So that, to me, makes them a dangerous team. They're ahead of schedule. I don't think that even in their best, you know, vision of this season, they could have envisioned that they'd be in the divisional round going to the Chiefs this quickly under Doug. And so, you know, that's the other part of it, too. I mean, they're playing with found money. They've got nothing to lose in this game. And Doug Peterson obviously knows Andy Reid very well, so there's going to be some insight there. But also, you saw it. I mean, you know, Doug, we've seen him many times. I mean, you saw it in the Super Bowl. You saw it the other night, what that the two-point conversion, and we've seen it with some of the creativity. He's got a lot of tricks in his bag, and he's going to pull them out. I mean, there's absolutely no reason for the Jaguars not to roll the dice and take some chances in this game. That may not work out for them. I mean, it can always backfire, but this is a team that's playing with a lot of confidence. You're right. I mean, hey, you could question the Chiefs on the second half of their schedule, too. I mean, it's been a little bit questionable. You can only beat the teams that are on your schedule. But Jaguars got some pretty good wins in there. I mean, they beat the Cowboys. They've got some convincing wins. I mean, they handled the Texans in a way that the Chiefs didn't do. They played really good defense in the last three games of the season. So, I mean, I think there's a lot to be worried about here.
We have Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Matt, I was excited. I still am excited. I'm hopeful. I guess not excited anymore, but I thought Mecole Hardman, I thought we would hear yesterday, okay, McCole's ready to go. He's going to practice and he'll play on Saturday. Instead, Andy Reid said that he wasn't going to practice and said they're going to back off of him for now because he wasn't responding like they'd like him to. And so, man, that's just a giant red flag. And that doesn't sound like a guy that's going to be ready to go on Saturday. I'd like to get your reaction to those comments about Mecole Hardman and what it means. And also the possibility of Jody Fortson and or Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming back for the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You know, it seems like if the Chiefs could get Mecole Hardman back and they've got their full receiver core and you're able to get him and Kadarius Toney on the field at the same time and even swap them out, I mean, there's some things you could do there. And it just seems like as well as the Chiefs offense has been playing at the end of the year, if you could just get Mecole Hardman back and add that piece, you know, they were going to be a really difficult team to stop. I mean, to me at this point, Hardman is a nice luxury to have. I mean, the Chiefs offense is playing well. They've got a lot of guys that are contributing right now. So it's not like they have to have Mecole Hardman, but it would just be really, really nice and make it so much easier to have him back. I mean, Andy Reid certainly left the door open that he could still possibly return. And if the Chiefs keep winning, there's a lot of time between now and the Super Bowl for sure that maybe Hardman can get back. From the way Andy was talking yesterday, I mean, it certainly, to me, took the divisional round out and probably made the AFC Championship game very questionable. For the other guys, hard to tell. I mean, both of them getting back to work. Let's see what happens. I'd probably be very surprised if either one of them were back this week. You kind of at this point want to go with the guys that are ready and hot, and they're not going to have a ton of time this week to get ready to come back from injured reserve. So I wouldn't be surprised if they take it a little bit easier with those guys, especially because they, once again, they've got depth. They've got a reasonable complement at both those positions. So it's a luxury, I think, to get both those guys back. I mean, they're not starters. I don't think Clyde would come back in and be a starter. And right now, I don't know where he fits into that backfield. I mean, there's no doubt that you want to get Pacheco and you want to get Jerick McKinnon the bulk of the work. I don't know there's a whole lot for Clyde to do right now. So probably just take your time with both those guys and see what happens.
Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com is our guest. Matt, I asked Andy Reid yesterday about his confidence level in these rookie defensive backs. And you know what? Let me, Marco, let me interrupt you. Let me play that real quick. And I want to get Matt's reaction and Nate's reaction, because I do think this is going to be an important storyline in the postseason. First of all, how the games are called by the officials as far as contact between the defensive backs and the wide receivers and tight ends, and then how this group of rookies in the defensive backfield respond to the pressure and everything they're going to face in the postseason. And so play read number four. I asked Andy Reid what he's seen from the rookie D-backs to suggest they're ready for the challenge of the playoffs.
So I thought they progressively got better through the year, in particular kind of down the stretch there. They started getting their hands on balls, not always interceptions, but they were in position to make the play. I thought their tackling improved the angles that they were taking. So that comes down to getting – I look at that and I go, all right, speed of the game. They're getting a better feel for that. And this will be faster than the other ones. That's how it works in the playoffs. So they'll have to take another step here.
Matt Derrick, you first. Your reaction to those comments, and how do you feel about this secondary with so many rookies in it headed to the postseason?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, outside of just how the offense taking care of business, I think that this young secondary is probably the second biggest key for this team, because now we're going to find out just how good this group is, and they've got to be ready, because it's cliche, but it's absolutely true. The playoffs are harder and faster than the regular season, and you got to be ready for it. And I had a conversation with Justin Reid a couple of weeks ago after one of the games, kind of just like this, because Justin Reid was making the point that December football is the step forward towards January and towards the playoffs. And he's like, things are more intense in December. And he felt like that these rookies were handling it well, and they were responding, and they were getting better. And I think, I think you could definitely make the case that this rookie class as a group, and especially in the secondary, has probably played their best football in December. Trent McDuffie has been extremely good. Jalen Watson getting back to full health, and that hand is not bothering him as much, I think, is a good piece to have. Josh Williams has probably been the guy that has been attacked the most, and he's held up. I mean, mentally he has held up. I mean, he still had some rough moments on the field, but I think he is, surviving, and that's what you have to do as a rookie. You have to kind of break through. But everybody, George Karloftis has played his best football at the end of the season. I really like what Brian Cook has been doing. I mean, I think that Andy Reid's comments really fit him pretty well, too. These guys, they're going to have to rely on them. Absolutely. There's no doubt. I mean, they're going to be key to this postseason run. And I'm optimistic. I mean, we're going to find out a lot about them. But what's it say that, you only find out about, the tea bag once you put it in hot water?
That's right. Now you're talking. Wow. Now you're talking my language. If you teabag a quarterback, then the water gets – no. If you – Nate, damn it. If you want to tea – what is it?
It was a very, very bad Eleanor Roosevelt quote that I misused.
No, this is the – Gary Pinkel once said on this show, if you – oh, quarterbacks are like tea bags.
Exactly.
You don't know what you got until you put them in hot water.
See, and I was trying to say that, right. And I just kind of fumbled it.
Yeah.
Because unlike you guys, I'm not the best morning person in the world.
I mess it up all the time. Nate always has to correct me. Nate Bucchetti, your comments on the defensive backs or anything else you have to say, your last words with Matt Derrick, please.
Well, between Matt suggesting that the Chiefs corners need to teabag the Jags and then Andy Reid praising them for getting their hands on balls, I think that we've really had a heck of a segment here.
Let's go. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
This is going to get me in trouble because, you know, like about a month or so ago, I walked into the Chiefs media room and everybody said that I dropped an inappropriate word.
No, did you?
No, but you guys thought I did.
Well, you might have.
That's a likely story.
Yeah. Look, man, we're sorry. We're sorry if we get you in trouble. You tell Brad G to leave you alone. You're there to do your job. You're trying to work.
Back off, Brad G, if you're listening.
You
back off, Matt Derrick. All right, give me your official prediction. I would like a score, please, so Marco can write it down, and then he's averaging out all the predictions, and that will make his decision of whether or not he will bet on the Chiefs to cover on DraftKings Sportsbook.
No pressure, Matt. It's just money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to really mess with Marco's mind here because I have no confidence in betting this game. I would not put money on it because I think it's just, you know, a big line scare me, especially in the playoffs. And I'm going to completely undermine everything I've said about this being a scary game by taking the Chiefs to cover, because I think they're the better team. I mean, I do worry that Jacksonville can absolutely show up and cause some problems, but I think the Chiefs are the better team and they're going to prevail and comfortably. I'm going with the Chiefs 31-17.
31-17 is what Matt Derrick says. That is a cover for your Kansas City Chiefs. But that is that's the under. He has them not getting over, so the under.
It's a win, baby.
And the cover from Matt Derrick. Matt, thank you very much. That's right. That's all that matters. Matt, thank you.
Absolutely. Take care, buddy.
That's Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. When we come back, we will find out why Gary decided to return my 9:14 p.m. text message at 2:58 in the morning. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Good morning.
May I ask you a question?
I am ready for your question.
Why, when I text you at 9 o'clock, do you return my text at 3 in the morning?
I think your text was like 9:15 p.m.
9:14 p.m. and your response was 2:54 a.m.
At 8:45 p.m. I was sound asleep.
What are you sleeping so early on in your retirement? This is when you get out and stretch your legs.
I get up at 5 or 6 in the morning now, and because I went to bed that early, I got to, you know, finally wake up about 3, and I saw your text, and I answered you. Because I thought I better answer you right fast, because you're probably just about to get up and get to your car, and I'm like, I better answer this question right now.
So you weren't, I mean, you weren't still up. I thought maybe you were partying or something.
No. Me?
I don't know. You're texting people at 2:45 in the morning.
I went with some people last night. I went out to dinner. You probably saw my picture. I posted on Facebook. I went out to dinner with some friends, Paul Sussel and Mike Adams Sr. and Roanne and Cease. And, you know, we had a really good dinner, Piropos. It was delicious. It's restaurant week. It was very, very good food.
Did you catch the early bird special?
It wasn't the early bird special.
Is that what you're doing nowadays?
But we went early, and I had, you know, a couple martinis, you know, so I went to bed.
Yeah, there we go. Now we got the real story. But all I asked you was, is it going to rain? And so now you can answer that for everyone. well, in Kansas City. I've had some sprinkles, you know.
We have a little dilemma. The chance of this storm is going to produce rain. In fact, a chance of heavy rain, even a chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon. And then there's a very good chance of snow this weekend. And there's a little game at 3:30 p.m. at GEHA Field at Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. And so the latest data is coming out right now. The chance of snow is near 100%. I know not 100%. You know, Nate knows that. I can't go 100%.
Right.
But there's a chance of that on Saturday. Some of the models hold it off until after the game. So that'll be something we look at for the timing. Could there be a snow impact on the game? Could it come in during the fourth quarter? It's definitely something that we need to monitor, and we will be doing that. So let's give it another day, let it breathe, but there's a chance of snow this weekend. Never mind.
Listen to this, Gary. Yeah. All I think about is you. Even when I'm with my boo, and I'm crazy about you. You know why I'm playing this?
Why?
Because you said you have a dilemma, and the name of the song is Dilemma.
Dilemma. I'll look it up. Nate.
Yes.
What happened last night? Why did Bill Self call that timeout?
Wow. Wow. Couldn't wait to ask you about that one, huh, Nate?
I don't know why he called that timeout. I wouldn't have.
I mean, I saw the three going up. Literally, I was wondering if they could, if it were the NFL, they'd slow it down. The timeout was called after the ball left his hands. It's a timeout, but the three-pointer counts.
Damn.
That would have put it away.
I'm gonna cut Bill Self a little bit of slack on this one.
All right.
He's who are you? Wait. Who were you rooting for last night, Gary?
K-State.
Oh, why is that?
Because I like to watch KU go down sometimes.
Wow. You know what? For thanks for being a real one and admitting it. That's okay.
Yeah. I'm very happy for K-State. K-State fan. Congratulations. Yeah. How does it feel? You beat KU.
What do you think of what he's saying right now, Nate?
I got dead silence from KU.
And Nate doesn't want to say nothing.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Well, I just respond to what he's saying to you. You're sitting there like the cat has got your tongue.
Well, the cats got us last night, didn't they?
Wow.
Ooh, back to the drawing board.
Hey, that was a great game. And it's we've talked about it. It's better around here when KU, K-State, and Missouri are all good at sports, and they're all three pretty good right now, so that's fun. And
classic K-State KU fan. That's classic KU fan. Yeah, it's great that K-State and Missouri are now finally good at something. Yeah, it's good. Classic KU fan.
He said you're a classic KU fan. And he knows, I don't think he meant that as a compliment.
Yeah, it's good.
No, he definitely did not.
Yeah. Damn. All right, Gary.
Right.
You need to have a couple martinis the night before every forecast when you're on the show.
I have a few people that say they love it when I give Nate a hard time.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Sounds like you
hey,
love
listen,
it.
There's a large area of rain heading this way. It's going to rain today, a quarter inch to three quarters of an inch, maybe an inch of rain if you get into a thunderstorm. And then the snow is in Nebraska. But, again, we have a chance of snow this weekend. More on that in the next couple of days. Listen to watch KSHP 41. They'll get you updated later today. I'm out of here, guys. You're out of time. You got to get to Wichita.
Thank you, Gary. We're going to Wichita right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.